Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us once again for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's always our joy to have you to call in. Delight to have the discussion with you on the issue of the day. As we face the issues, may I remind us again that we face them not based on our own intellectual ability, not based on ideological philosophy, not based on the dogmas of denominational preferences, with the rites and the rituals and the rules and the regulations, but based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any greater book to place our faith in, our trust in, and our hope for tomorrow than in the God-given book, the Word of God, the Bible. In fact, we find it is a book of truth. And when we face issues, we do so based on the authority of truth. What is truth? Truth is the Word of God. Where do we go for truth? In the Word of God. I have said for years that every Christian should be a central biblicist. Forget denominational distinctives and denominational rhetoric. Be a central biblicist. What does the Word of God say? Never will forget. Had a lady on one occasion said, "Well, you believe that because you're a Baptist." I said, "No, I believe that because I'm a central biblicist." She said, "What is a central biblicist?" I said, "It just simply means we believe what the Word of God says in context without any reservation." The Bible is God's truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." He had already reminded his disciples that if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we want real freedom, freedom intellectually, freedom theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, freedom in our facing the issues of life, then know the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart. I urge you and encourage you to study the Word. No greater book to go to than the Bible to find encouragement and hope and peace and direction and God's wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we invite you to call in and join the dialogue and discussion. We have a new telephone number for the studio for you to reach our microphones. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That's the telephone number. Gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, and we might have the dialogue and discussion. Be talking about an exciting subject today, a controversial subject, a subject that many Christians feel that Christians ought not to talk about. It's a subject that many feel very ill at ease in discussing, but I feel that we need to discuss it because it's biblical. We're going to be talking about today God, guns, government, and dictators. God, guns, government, and dictators. How do those three or four things come together? Well, let me introduce it today with an elongated monologue to get to the point of what we want to discuss. I believe when we think about, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening in Washington with AOC and Nancy Pelosi and the other socialists that we have now leading our nation, they introduced the Green New Deal, and it advocates, and those that are advocating that in Washington, I believe, need to recognize there's a problem with it. But they, these advocates in Washington need to sit up and take notice of what's happening in the dictator-controlled nation of Venezuela. AOC and Omar and Tlaib and Pelosi and Schumer and many of the others are evidently blind, irresponsible, or simply unconcerned about America and the citizens and the future of our nation by introducing that Green New Deal. Ladies and gentlemen, the Green New Deal is simply a term and a methodology that will be used to usher in total socialism via dictatorship for our nation. And now I realize that you have some of those anti-Trumpers, the never-Trumpers, or those that are against President Trump, that claim that he wants to be a dictator. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been no evidence of that whatsoever. All that he's done is to set America free and to make America, as he uses the term, great again, of which I'm in full agreement with his philosophical approach and his actual intent on helping America. But let's look at some of the few things, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe I can highlight today and give you a little clearer understanding of what I'm trying to mirror and what I want us to understand in this issue-oriented broadcast today. As we face the issues and we talk about the potentiality of America going over the cliff into total socialism and thus being a dictator third world nation in the future of America. Now, I realize if the rapture of the church were to occur as it can at any moment, I'll not be here. Multitudes, millions will not be here. But multitudes, ladies and gentlemen, will face the wrath of the Antichrist, the wrath of God through the Antichrist, as a result of multitudes today not recognizing and understanding that the rapture of the church is imminent and that we as Christians need to be prepared. But if Jesus tarries, even in beyond my lifetime and perhaps yours, we'll have a nation that will be thrown into chaos, confusion, and absolute destruction in a dictatorship form of government if the socialists in Washington have their way. And I want to analyze very briefly for our edification and information about Venezuela. It is in great need today of our serious prayers. There are those there today that are suffering, and most of those that are suffering, not as a result of what they have done, but as a result of what their nation has done to them, and they are helpless. Ladies and gentlemen, hunger is widespread in Venezuela. In fact, the latest statistic that I read on some internet searches this morning, 90% of Venezuelan households don't have enough food to eat. 90%. Citizens are having to scavenge through the garbage dumpsters simply to survive. More than 3 million have already fled for their lives. Hospitals are without medical supplies. They have no emergency material and equipment, and people are dying as a result of that. We're talking about Venezuela. We're talking about the dictatorship leadership there and what's happening. The raging battle over who is the real leader and who that leader should be is at the apex and the crescendo of, in the very near future, a determination having to be made. Most of the citizens have no electricity. 10 nations, including the USA, have recognized however you pronounce his name, Guaido, G-U-A-I-D-O, as the official leader for Venezuela. Maduro and his soldiers, he's the present dictator, Maduro and his soldiers are killing citizens in the streets today in Venezuela. Citizens have no food, no medicine, no hospitals to help them, no electricity, no weapons to defend themselves and their families. They have been disarmed with any weapons of self-defense. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, the citizens in Venezuela having to try to defend themselves with rocks, machetes, and sticks, that's their only defense. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they are under the powerful control of a dictator. And now, if that's not bad enough, just in the past few days, two jet airplanes from Russia bringing in 100, and that's a minimum number, 100 Russian soldiers, and they're there to help Maduro and his soldiers to control the Venezuelan citizens. Remember, Maduro holds billions, and now these numbers, I'm prayerful they're correct. They're given by CNN News, and may I put a big pause and question mark there, but I think they're probably correct on this. Maduro holds billions of dollars in gold bullion in the UK banks. According to news reports, Venezuelan oil wealth is over 600 billion barrels, perhaps the world's largest reserve of oil. Venezuela was a very healthy, wealthy, thriving nation until the dictator decided to take full, absolutely dictatorial control. Yet the nation is suffering today with over a 1,000,000% inflation rate and people starving in the streets, helpless, hopeless, with no self-defense. Pray for Venezuela. Pray for the people there. Pray for God to intervene and give them release and relief. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm using this as a very vivid, actual, real, live illustration of what happens to a nation when they're disarmed. What happens to a nation when a dictator takes control and the citizens have no help and no hope because they cannot fight the government? And that's the problem. Does this sound horrible? Can this happen in America? Do you think it's potentially possible for America to become a Venezuela? President Trump says so, and I believe it is. I believe that we're one step away from it. And if you look at what's happening in Venezuela, you look at all other socialist, dictatorial, communist nations, the people are starving in North Korea. You find in Cuba, the people have nothing. They're living a lifestyle back that was seen in the 40s and 50s as a result of a dictatorship in control. Ladies and gentlemen, America can go that route. And we're on a banana peel, on a fast track, as I call it, we're on a jumbo 777, and on a banana peel, on the high side of the mountain, about ready to step off the cliff into socialism. Our nation's socialist leaders are pushing to confiscate guns from Americans. Counties and cities and states are introducing legislation to bar, to ban, or to confiscate firearms from American citizens. I find it frightening, disconcerting. Here's an article that says, Democrats to confiscate guns if Trump secures the borders. Now, I don't understand the rationale with that, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be honest with you. I can't fathom it. My mind just can't get a handle on it. But the article starts and says this, Democrats are warning that if President Trump, if his declaration of emergency at the southern border to fund a wall sets a precedent that would allow a future Democratic president to enact sweeping gun control or climate control measures. Democrats presidential candidates, Julian Castro, that is, recently told MSNBC that if the Supreme Court upholds Trump's emergency declaration, it would open up a new avenue for the future president and the Congress to take action. Quote, I will come into office with a strong belief that climate change is a national emergency, that the fact that so many people in the country die because of gun violence, that is a national emergency, and I will confiscate all guns. That's the goal. That's the desire for the present socialist Democratic Party in Washington today that wants to confiscate your weapon and your mind and take away the right to keep and bear arms and to in some way infringe upon the Second Amendment right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Firearms Registration Act introduced in Pennsylvania. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a new bill introduced in Pennsylvania would establish a gun registry within the state. HBO 768 is known as the Firearm Registration Act. The bill would require gun owners in the Keystone State to register their firearms with the Pennsylvania State Police. Owners would have to provide the police with the make, model, and serial number of all guns, along with the application that the gun owner must swear under oath. The gun owner would have to submit fingerprints, two photographs, no older than 30 days, and go through a background check for each firearm that they presently own. This background check is the same one that they must go through to purchase a gun. In addition to this requirement, they must also provide the Pennsylvania State Police with their home and their work address, their telephone number, social security numbers, date of birth, age, sex, and citizenship. This requirement is more information than is required to even vote in the state of Pennsylvania. Further, it says the owner must turn their firearms into the state police within 3 days after receiving notification that they've been rejected. If a person does not appeal the decision within 10 days, their rights are forfeited. Further, this article says, a gun owner cannot transfer any unregistered firearm. Anyone caught with an unregistered gun is guilty of a crime, even if they're unaware of the firearm registration status. Also, just holding an unregistered firearm at a range is a crime. The gun owner must keep a firearm unloaded, disassembled, bound by the trigger with a lock and in a locked box. If the firearm owner doesn't secure the firearm that full manner, they would be guilty of a crime. This rule even applies in homes where there are no children. Ladies and gentlemen, this would be designed to make criminals out of law-abiding citizens in the state of Pennsylvania. This article says, and the gun owner has 48 hours to update the state police if they change jobs, change phone numbers, addresses, or anything else on the application. If they do not update with the state police, then they could be prosecuted for the violation of the law. Ladies and gentlemen, that's setting the stage for a dictatorship, a police state in the United States of America. I find it egregious. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Don't you think it's comical that the same folks on the left that want to call Donald Trump authoritarian or totalitarian, you know, dictatorial, those same individuals are pushing for gun control that would leave guns only in the hands of the state? You think about that. Think of how illogical that is. So many things they're currently doing are, you know, completely contrarian. They pushed years ago to have kids left on parents' health insurance until they're 26. So we're going to treat kids like kids until they're 26. But now those same people are pushing to have 16-year-olds able to vote. They don't want a 16-year-old to have a gun, and they don't want a 16-year-old to be treated like an adult, but they want that 16-year-old to vote. And you go, well, what's driving these folks? And then a survey rolled out recently that said folks in the age bracket from 18 to 24, 56% of them prefer a mostly socialist system. You know, they are literally reliant upon the lack of education or, you know, the programming they put these kids through in government-controlled schools in order to get the outcome that they want. They want that power for themselves. They know that we'd be only one election or two elections away from them seizing power again. They're talking about packing the U.S. Supreme Court, putting another five members on there so they can retake a liberal majority on the court rather than a constitutional majority on the court. The current gun push, the gun control push that they have right now has nothing to do with what happened in New Zealand or what happened in Parkland or what happened in Sandy Hook. It has everything to do with a progressive, socialist, Marxist plan that they have for America. It's very difficult to have that evil totalitarian control over folks when those same folks possess the ability to resist that totalitarian control. When folks' eyes ever come open to this, they will resist at every turn. It was a few years back. In a single year, there were over 80,000 failed background checks. Over 80,000, okay? Many of them were felons illegally attempting to acquire firearms. Out of the 80,000, only 44 were arrested and convicted. So I ask that everyone resist any new law and force them, say, hey, folks, if you want laws to protect folks, why don't you enforce the laws that are already on the books dealing with folks illegally acquired firearms? They have no interest in stopping the criminal. They have every interest in turning good people into criminals.
Well, they have every intent of simply controlling weapons in America, thus controlling the people. We've already set the act into the motion into the act into motion for a dictatorial super control of the citizen in America through the educational process of brainwashing our kids in school and teaching them socialism versus the constitutional republic. But George Washington said firearms are second only to the Constitution in its importance, that they are the people's liberty teeth. Then James Madison said, Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Samuel Adams says, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. But yet we find an article, and listen to this and then respond to it, tell me your thoughts. On the anniversary of Parkland school shooting, Menendez, Senator Menendez, urges action on gun control legislation. U.S. Senator Robert Menendez said the Senate unanimously passed a resolution remembering those who lost during the Parkland massacre, who were lost during the Parkland massacre. But he said honoring the memories of gun violence, victims demand more than just symbolic gestures. He introduced the Keep America Safe Act, which would literally confiscate weapons in the United States of America. And I just made a little marginal note. This infringes completely upon our Second Amendment right. And yet we have senators and legislators in Washington and in many of the states across America enacting legislation that's illegal and unconstitutional.
Listen, it gets me because these leftists, they may very well have the most blood on their hands when it comes to things like Parkland and Sandy Hook. They're the ones that many times have pushed the legislation to keep all firearms out of these schools. We've hoped for years that locks are only good for honest people. Those laws are only good for honest people. The criminal doesn't care that you have a sign on your door that says no guns. He doesn't care that you're in a gun-free zone. That just means it's a target-rich environment zone for him or her. The reality is the criminal's number one deterrent, a violent criminal's number one deterrent, is an armed victim. The victim is much less likely to become a victim. The armed criminal doesn't typically want to die in the commission of their felonious act. And think about it. The individual that's willing to commit the act of murder, think there's one wit about a secondary felony for carrying a gun on a school or college campus. They don't care. All that does is serve to protect them against a very rapid takedown. That's all it does. The idea that we have done anything for our kids in school, college, the idea that we've done anything to protect them with these laws is absurd. It is completely insane.
Well, I'm thankful in the state of Florida that we at least have some legislative. By the way, there are four gun bills that are working its way through the House and the Senate in Tallahassee as we speak. One of them is a 23-page bill that when you read it, and I read every word of all four of the bills, and the 23-page bill, when you get through reading the bill, you sit back and say, what in the world does this bill do? It puts so many loopholes in the gun laws and places so many caveats in the gun laws and puts so much authority and control in the future police state that it would make any gun owner shudder to think about, am I obeying the law or disobeying the law? But at least we have one. Florida legislature will allow guns on campus, school campuses, college campuses to be back into order. A freshman GOP legislator in Lake County has revived a bill that would allow some people to carry guns on college campuses. And it's Sabatini from Republican from Highway in the Hills, along with another Republican that's introduced the bill. Sabatini, who filed the bill last week along with Representative Mike Hill of Pensacola, says, I find it offensive that because of political rhetoric, I'm not allowed to defend myself just because I'm on a college campus. The bill would allow people with concealed weapons permits who are at least 21 and demonstrate competency with firearms to carry guns on any Florida school campus currently specifically listed as one of the state's gun-free zones. I've said for years that you need to have signs in front of a church, in front of your home, in front of a building that says, this is not a gun-free zone, putting the thugs on notice that you're armed and ready for them to come in.
It's amazing to me as you look at places like Chicago with some of the more severe gun restrictions. That place should not be one of the shooting galleries of the world. It should be one of the most peaceful places on earth if gun control really worked. I found myself headed to New York and D.C. recently, and I think the Second Amendment covers this, by the way, and the idea of permitting or charging a person a fee or a fine in order to exercise a right is absurd. However, I still spent the $100 on an 8-year permit, and years back in Florida, similarly for many decades, maintained a carry permit. But look at the laws in New York and D.C. I'll tell you what, you show up there with so much as a pocket knife, and you find yourself a horrible felon, even though you've passed the most strict background checks, the NCICF, CIC, FBI, every kind of background check you can imagine. All of a sudden, you're a criminal. You're a bad guy because you possess a pocket knife. I mean, it's insane. But I will say this, and I know time is running short on your program. When many folks have wondered, when does this whole thing go off the rails? Do people, literally as decent people, as moral people, as good people, finally, when do they have to stand up and resist a government? Because this government, biblically, government is there to reward good and punish evil. But I'll tell you, our founding fathers, they discovered on that day in 1775, when the shot heard round the world was heard, the Green, Lexington and Concord, the Brits, what did they do? They came for their guns. Our founding fathers realized once the guns have been taken away, our last ability to protect ourselves is being stripped away. That's when that cold war of the revolution came a hot war of revolution. The shot heard round the world.
Absolutely.
Say, beware.
One of the things George Mason said, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave any people. Thomas Jefferson said, the Constitution of our states asserts that all power is inherent in the people, that is, their right and duty to bear arms at all times. And yet, in 1791, when the Second Amendment was written, all guns were military style. Did you know that? Most people are not aware of that. And yet we hear this rhetoric, well, you're not going to take all of your firearms away, just those that are military style. Well, all they had was military style weapons in 1791 when the Second Amendment was written. I find it absolutely frightening. But yet, one of the things that you may know or may not recognize, and our listeners may not understand, is that the right to keep and bear arms, our Second Amendment in our Constitution, was codified in the Scripture, was given to us in the Scripture, codified in our Constitution, confirmed by the courts, to be carried out by we the people. In fact, I find it a little tidbit of information that our listeners, I'm sure, need to understand if they don't. And that is, just a few days ago when President Trump signed the executive order, the proclamation, that Israel is the sovereign controller and the one that owns the Golan Heights. And that's as a result of that being the high elevation, and it's for the city's protection, the nation of Israel's protection. But it was done on the celebration of Purim. And the celebration of Purim began in Esther chapter 9, when the king had written a decree allowing the Jewish people to defend themselves when there was a decree going out to destroy their lives. It gave them, in the 128 provinces of that era, it gave them the right to stand up, fight back, and to slay the enemy. That's the Second Amendment right. That's the right to keep and bear arms that we find that's given to in the Word of God and confirmed in our courts, codified in our Constitution, to be carried out by we the people. It is a crying shame, as I call it, when there's an attempt to destroy that. One other statement, then I'll let you have the final word on the broadcast today. Thank you also for calling. Florida bill seeks to repeal post-Parkland gun control measures. State Senator State Representative Mike Hill, Republican, wants to be passed into law, House Bill 175. And that law would absolutely counter anything that was put into effect with the knee-jerk legislation, gun control measures after the Parkland shooting. Here's what this representative said. He says, I took a solemn oath to support and protect and defend the U.S. Constitution. The referenced act violates the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, he said. Therefore, I'm obligated and duty-bound by my oath to file legislation to repeal those measures in the act that infringe upon the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. What do you say to that? What are your final words that our listener needs to hear today?
Well, I'd like to say that our founding fathers did not create a right in the Second Amendment. They acknowledged a God-given right. Your reference to Purim and the story in Esther is absolutely the most clear and articulate biblical reference for our right to defend ourselves. That Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia. In that day, every able-bodied man was part of the militia, being necessary to the security of a free state. These folks today pushing gun control, they are challenging a free state. What does it end with? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Yes,
I'll tell you,
and Thomas,
any step, if it's a magazine ban, a bump stock ban, a military-style weapon ban, any of those bands are a challenge to our right to defend ourselves.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you again on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.